Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Rockcast. Jordan Budd here. And it is Tuesday, April 21st. And so that means it's time for Tipsy Tuesday. So this one will probably be hopefully compact unless I get to rambling, which is pretty average. But since the old coronavirus has been going around, there's not a ton of news that has surfaced in the last couple of weeks. So there's not a whole lot to report, but there's a few things. So first up with the housekeeping, we have a new sub forum that's going to be coming to the Rock Slide forums, and that is going to be called the Rock Slide Women's Council. So that will be open to women, obviously. And I guess, you know, if you guys want to ask questions on behalf of your wives, you can do that as well. But we just want to steer clear of the creepers on there. But right now, I don't think it's quite up yet, but right now we have a Facebook private group open, and Tanya Avery came up with this idea, and she had Jordan and myself hop on and become a part of it, and Becca Moffitt is also a part of it as well. So us four are moderating the Facebook page, so you can look it up. It's just Rock Slide Women's Council on Facebook. Join the private group if you're a lady. If you're a guy, probably not. But it's a great place for women to reach out and ask questions that maybe they think that it's a dumb question, which there's no dumb questions. But it's just a great place and comfortable place that women can reach out and talk about things that they don't want to talk about in front of guys, I guess. And a bunch of solid women on there that we've added. I think there's about 35 on there right now. And we've all been having good conversation, and it's been awesome. So if you're on the old Facebook, look us up at Rockside Women's Council and get involved with it. It's super awesome. And then, again, there will be a sub-forum on the Rockside forums for that as well before too much longer, I'm sure. And then also with the sticking with Avery's, I went on an elk hunt with Ryan Avery this year, and I filmed it, I guess, and he ended up shooting a bull. I think people have already seen pictures, so we can spoil it. But the film is completed and will be coming out this week for sure. So be looking out for that. And latest episodes of the Rockcast. So I just recorded one called the newbie gear list, or gear list for a newbie, and that has been getting some great responses. I've probably got more text messages and emails over that single podcast than maybe all the other ones combined, actually. So I really appreciate the support on that. And basically what it is I just went through an entire gear list, but I generalized it. So I went through backpacking gear, like your sleep system, tents, you know, floored versus floorless, choosing a sleeping bag, you know, down versus synthetic. I went through all that kind of on a more broad spectrum. I think sometimes we do these podcast episodes and we dive a little deep into them right off the bat. And then I think new guys that just don't really know where to start get lost in it. So hopefully that'll help with that. It is like a 2.5 hour podcast, but thus far it's been getting some great response. So go check that out if you haven't yet. And new Rockslide articles up. We have The Rewarming Drill by Rachel Meigs. And it is pretty cool. They basically purposely fell through the ice in like a little pond looking deal. And then they tried to warm up. She calls it a static rewarming drill. I think basically they fell through the ice and then treated it like if they only had camp to go to. And I think they actually had to set up their camp. Anyways, that is on there. And that's a dang good article. And then moving on just to straight into hot news. California Mountain Lion approved temporary protection. I don't think I wrote that correctly. But anyways, California has temporarily put a protection on mountain lions, but it specifically applies to lions in Southern California and then along the Central Coast. So there's that over in California, not super surprising to me, I guess. And some changes for Colorado. The leftover draw does not exist anymore. So the leftover draw as we knew it is gone. And it was replaced, or it is replaced, I guess, by the secondary draw. And doesn't award preference points with the secondary draw. So I believe that the leftover draw, I guess, it wasn't really a draw. I think it was more first come, first serve. But that's been completely replaced by a secondary draw. So the way I interpret it or understand it is when you put in for your first draw or the primary draw, and then after that there's going to be an X number of tags left per unit, if any, because there's a certain quota. So if the unit has a quota of 50 and they only had 20 applicants, and all 20 of those applicants drew, well, then there's 30 tags left in that unit. So you can then basically reapply, I believe, for the secondary draw. And I'm not sure how they're splitting that up as far as like residents, non-residents, how that works. But I do know it said in the article that they're leaning drawing odds to youth, is what it said. So that's interesting. And some other things. Oh, the deadline for that is July 7th. So they also have some new season dates. And this is interesting because it has definitely changed from what it was before. The article I looked at didn't really clarify why they changed it. I'm sure that there's a reason, but they didn't clarify why. So what we've got here is archery is going to open September 2nd through the 30th. So the way it worked before is archery, I believe it started on the last Saturday of August. So the actual date would change every year, but now they're just going to move it to September 2nd. So if you hit it on the right year, previous years, if you hit it on the right year, I hunted it in 2018 for mule deer, and I ended up getting like the entire last week of August to hunt, which worked out really well because then I could go to another state for the September 1st opener and hunt that, which was pretty cool. But that's going to be no longer. But one thing I think they did do, and I'm pretty sure that their season never ran all the way through September. It always stopped shy. And now it's going to run September 2nd through the 30th. So it's going to go all the way through the month of September. And apparently the dates that I looked at, it's going to be that way, September 2nd through the 30th, from every year now on. Obviously, things change year to year and whatnot. So who knows, that could be changed. But here's some other dates as well. Early rifle is September 12th through the 20th. And muzzleloader is September 12th through the 20th. That seems a little strange to me, but maybe that's just me. And maybe the article was mistaken, I guess. The first rifle elk season is going to be October 10th through the 14th. Second rifle, which is going to be for mule deer and elk, is going to be October 24th through November 1st. Third rifle, November 7th through the 14th. Fourth rifle, November 18th through November 22nd. So that's what's going on over in Colorado. If that is going to affect you and you are going to draw a tag and it's not maybe what you were planning on, just go over and check out their website and double check all of that information and just kind of make sure you're on the right track. This is not hunting related. But the other day, basically my entire family has got their stimulus checks already direct deposited, and I had not. We actually just received ours today, but I had not received mine, which is pretty typical thing for me in situations such as these. So I found out that you can go to irs.gov and you can input information from your taxes, which is basically your social security number, I think your birth date, and then your address, and it will pull up. You'll be able to basically check the status. So you go to irs.gov. I'm pretty sure you click a thing that says get my check now or get my payment or something like that. You click on that, you put in the info, and it'll pop up and tell you kind of what the status is of it. I know before Jordan had to change her bank account info, but then they ended up mailing it anyways, and we just got that. But when I got on it the other day, it did say it was going to mail it because they didn't have a bank account for me, which I don't understand that. But anyways, that was just a little tidbit. I thought if anybody has not gotten their stimulus checks yet and is kind of wondering what's going on, that could be a resource for you. Important dates coming up. So these are all application deadline dates. We have Kansas coming up here in a couple of days on the 24th of this month. So Kansas non-resident deer applications are due. The 30th of this month is going to be the Idaho moose, sheep, and goat deadline. May 1st is going to be the Montana moose, sheep, and goat deadline. The 4th of May is going to be the Nevada all species deadline. The 8th of May is going to be Wyoming non-resident elk modify withdrawal deadline. And then the 11th is going to be Nevada bonus point and application withdrawal deadline. The 15th of May is going to be South Dakota. That's going to be elk, sheep, and mountain goat deadline. The 18th of May is going to be Oregon all species deadline. The 18th of May is going to be the Washington all species deadline. And then we're going to roll into June 1st, which is going to be the non-resident Wyoming elk application deadline. And what's interesting about this to me, you put in for your Wyoming elk application, and the 8th is the last day that you can modify or withdraw. But the application deadline isn't actually until June 1st, which is interesting because I think Nevada is different. Nevada actually, the all species deadline closes the 4th of May. And then the 11th of May is when the withdrawal application deadline closes. So that's a little bit of variance there. Okay, so moving on to hot forum threads. Robbie Denning started this thread quite a while back when all the craziness of the coronavirus was going through. He started the Rockslide Social Distancing for Hope forum thread. So basically what that thread is all about is people posting the positives of this time off, I guess, and what they're doing that's not just kind of huddled up in their house for the most part. So that's a good thread to just go look through and kind of see what everybody's doing. There's a bunch of camping trips going on and fun things like that. So go check that out and contribute if you'd like. It'd be awesome. So a throwback episode. As it's starting to warm up, it was legit. I think it's going to be 75 here today. This is what it's supposed to be, which is just nuts because it snowed last week. But as everything warms up, we can start rolling into summer. We're going to start doing some spring, spring hunting trips, but that's only if you're a resident in your state, probably. But anyways, we talked coolers with Travis Bertrand a while back. So he does something called the Cooler Showdown every year. I think last year he just took two giant coolers. I think it was a Yeti and a Canyon, and compared those to each other. But in the years previous, he's taken like six or seven coolers, done like ice tests with them. And it's just a cool thing. And so we talked with him about coolers and just features of each that he liked and some that he didn't like and how they did with ice and ice retention, and it was a good podcast. So I'll link to that in the show notes. You can check that out. And on to the hot minute, and this has been a hot topic for sure, is the carbon fiber versus aluminum tripod debate. And it gets heated, I guess. I've talked to a couple of people about it that are just hardcore carbon fiber and would never use an aluminum tripod. I'm kind of in the camp of both. I think they each kind of have their place. They each have their pros and cons. Right now, for the most part, I'm using an Outdoorsman's, which is an aluminum tripod. But I did just do a review on a carbon fiber tripod called the Manfrotto Be Free Live tripod. And it actually came as a tripod and fluid head package from Black Ovis. And I'll link to that review in the description as well. But Robbie's in the midst of doing a head-to-head review on the Outdoorsman's Compact Medium. And I think he actually got a little bit varied version of the Compact Medium that's actually a prototype. And he is comparing that to the Slick 624 tripod from S&S Archery. Now, price-wise, they're not really that comparable. When you're talking price-wise, they're fairly close in weight. I think they're 9 ounces apart. But they are two very popular tripods. And one question that's on the forums a lot is like, hey, I have the Slick tripod. What's the big advantage to upgrading, I guess in air quotes, to the Outdoorsman's and trying some aluminum? So I just kind of wanted to throw my two cents in here. I think a lot of times carbon fiber, I guess I should say aluminum just gets looked over. Like people don't even pay attention to aluminum because aluminum's not as sexy as carbon fiber. And so people don't even give it a look. And, you know, you hear it's heavier and it's bulkier, but how much heavier is it really? You know, so you just don't even look at it. You go right to the carbon fibers, and carbon fiber is great and it definitely has its pros. But one thing that carbon fiber has for a downside is the price. Typically you're just going to pay more for carbon fiber than you are aluminum. And if you're a super ounce counter, then that's one thing. But I think it's really important to know that if you go too light on a tripod, it's kind of just like everything. You're going to start sacrificing like durability. And I would say in the tripod world, when you start going too light, you're going to sacrifice stability, maybe more than the durability even. But I still think that both of those you're going to sacrifice to a certain extent. I think with the tripods, like I said, the stability is going to be a little bit more of a thing that you're going to notice. Think about it. If you get a sub 2 pound tripod with the head included, remember a lot of the places where you're going to get these weights and things, you're buying the tripod legs, but then you still have to put some kind of fairly substantial, nice head on it. And those things, don't exactly weigh like 2 ounces. So that's going to add to it as well. But say you can get a tripod for under 2 pounds with the head on it. And then you stick a six or man, I mean, even like a 8 pound tripod or a 8 pound spotting scope on it, BTX eyepiece in 95 or something like that. That just might not work super well. Like that might not be very stable, especially in some winds. So that's just kind of keep that in mind when you're trying to go ultra lightweight. Now, Robbie is doing the review on the Slick 624. Those tripod legs weigh 1 pound, 13 ounces. The price comes in at $230. The Outdoorsman's Compact Medium, which is the aluminum tripod, comes in at 2 pounds, 6 ounces, and it costs $500. One thing with that price tag of Outdoorsman's you are getting is it is made in the USA. So we have to pay our people a wage, a real living wage, so they can't be super cheap all the time. But I've used the Slick 624 quite a bit. I actually, that's the tripod that I started with. That was probably the first tripod I ever bought. And that was more of a backpacking one, I should say. And that was a good tripod. I wanted one that would go up a little higher. So I traded it for a Slick 634, which basically is just has another leg, I think, and extends higher. But I had good luck with those. I recently had an issue with their twist locks. and I had an issue with that twist lock, but I have it being resolved right now, and I think it would be resolved if the coronavirus would go away. But those, you know, that set of legs for $230, I think I did get a message from a guy that was like, I can't, you know, I was shocked when I heard how much those tripod legs cost. But the fact is trying to get into, you know, like $100, even like a 200, like under $200 for the legs and the head, that's just going to be pretty tough to do. That's when you're going to want to probably lean more towards aluminum, because they're going to be cheaper. The aluminum versions are just cheaper. And here is a example that just kind of lets you know it's probably as apples to apples comparison of two tripods that I could possibly ever imagine or find. And it really gives a good comparison on that carbon fiber versus aluminum in the price difference and the weight difference. So I did that review on the Manfrotto Be Free Life tripod with the fluid head from Black Ovis. They sell it as a package. The fluid head's pretty solid. It's 13 ounces, so that is kind of on the heavier side for a fluid head, but that's about on the, you know, average or even lower side of what those Manfrotto heads are going to weigh, I guess. So that combination, getting it from Black Ovis, is $350 for the carbon fiber version. The carbon fiber version, legs only, not the head on top of it, the legs only, is 2 pounds, 4 ounces. But you can get the exact same tripod, exact same setup, the twist locks, everything looks exactly the same, except the legs are aluminum instead of carbon fiber. And without the fluid head, those aluminum legs weigh 2 pounds, 7 ounces. So they're 3 ounces heavier. And you can get, on Black Ovis, you can get the aluminum tripod legs with the fluid head included for $240. So I just think that that's a good comparison, and hopefully it like surprises Semia and is like, oh yeah, maybe I should look into the aluminum versions of some of these tripods. Because like in that instance, if you want to go the carbon fiber version, you're paying $110 more to gain 3 ounces, or to lose 3 ounces of weight, you're going to pay $110 more. Well, $110, I mean, that can get you your backpacking stove system. You know, that could start you into a pretty decent sleeping pad. That could do a bit, especially when you're just getting started and you're trying to get a bunch of this gear. So that's kind of my take on it, I guess. But some upsides of the carbon fiber is when it's really cold outside, it doesn't get cold. Like, it doesn't get as cold anyway as aluminum does. So that could be an upside. I have some foam. I think it's like a, it's really hard to explain. It's like a material that goes over the legs. So for one, it pads them, because that is something with the aluminum too, is if you bump something against it, it's going to like ding. But if with carbon fiber, it's going to be more like a dull hit. It might not ding as much. So that's a positive there. And carbon fiber obviously has some other pros to it too. And just, it's typically compact and it weighs a little bit less and whatnot. But I just wouldn't completely rule out aluminum. And a good podcast you can listen to for this is, we talked to the Outdoorsman's, and I don't want to seem like I'm just totally partial to Outdoorsman's, because like, I have a Slick 634 tripod that we still use, and it's carbon fiber. And I've been using those for a long time, and I have the Manfrotto carbon fiber tripod that I just reviewed, and I have another carbon fiber tripod, and so I'm not against carbon fiber. I think more what I'm against is people just completely ruling out aluminum and paying more for a tripod that they don't necessarily need, or just putting more money resources into a set of tripod legs when they could just buy the aluminum, carry a few ounces more, and save yourself over $100. So that's kind of what I'm in favor for. But with that being said, when we were at the Western Hunt Expo, we talked to outdoorsmen's, and they're actually talking about building a carbon fiber tripod. And I don't know if they've decided to do that yet or not. But in there, we talked about when you basically build the carbon fiber up enough to equal like an aluminum tripod. So if you were, you know, if outdoorsmen's were to build their carbon fiber tripod to be as rigid and like the same durability, everything as that aluminum version, I mean, you're probably looking at close to the same thing that the Manfrotto aluminum versus the carbon fiber is going to be, is it's only going to be a few ounces difference. So they talk about it way better in their podcast. So you should just go listen to that. I'll link to it in the show notes. Hope everybody is being safe and having fun with their families over this crazy time. Hopefully we're going to be out of it before too much longer. In our area, I know we've been really lucky. Not many around our area. I wouldn't even say there's been a positive test within 30 miles of us. So that's been nice. But we're just continuing on with the cattle work and ranch work that we do, because the cows don't really care that it's, the coronavirus is going around. And actually, what we are vaccinating them for and what we have been vaccinating those cows for a very long time is a coronavirus. And it actually says it on the vaccine bottle that we give them yearly. It actually has coronavirus on it. Obviously a different strand, at least I think, but I thought that was kind of ironic. So that's basically what's going on. Some upcoming episodes. I actually have a forum thread open with a filming and photography questions. So you can ask questions on there and we're going to try to answer them. So I'm going to go through some of the equipment, going to kind of keep it going towards the filming side of things, because we are doing the Rock Slide Film Contest again. So it's going to be the 2020 version. And since we've done that, and since we started coming out with these Rock Slide, you know, original films, I've been getting a lot of questions from people on filming and kind of what I use and things like that. So you can go on there and ask questions if you want. We'll get that one done. And then I talked to a Rock Slide dude, actually, a forum member, just recently. And we talked about going out west, some of the costs associated with that, and just some western hunting stuff, picking a unit, things like that, from a forum member. And it was a great podcast. So that'll be coming up soon, too. And I think that's it. I hope you guys have an awesome week, I guess, and just enjoy your time with family. Try to make this as positive as you can, and yeah, just have a great day. Thanks for all the support, and we'll see you on the next one.